Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Why can't you ever do anything halfway?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 23, A Pig is a Boy is a Dog. And here are your hosts, Tara Ariano, Sarah D. Bunting, and once again, Adam Grossworth.
Hello, Sarah and Adam.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello.
Hello. Shall we proceed?
Yes.
Okay.
God, yes.
It's so hot where they are. They have to do this without air conditioning, so let's just get through it.
I just meant the episode, but that too.
Yeah.
We need to get you out of this episode and into a white Negroni, so let's do it.
That's what she said.
Wow.
I follow him on Twitter. I know what's up. I saw the picture. All right. Starting with, we only actually have, for the first time in a long time, two storylines today, really. So let's start with our B story. The Brandon / Lucinda / Dylan thing comes to a head. Hee hee.
Tee hee.
Very mature of me. So Brenda noses around in Brandon's business, asking if he's been slipping away every night to see Kelly. And Brandon has to be shitty about it in clip number two.
Oh, you'd really love to see her and Dylan break up, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I mean, yes, but also go fuck yourself.
Yeah. What is that tone? I mean, as we all agree, yes, they should break up, but God, Brandon. It is always his tone. Anyway, he says Kelly is not the one he is seeing, and Brenda reminds him that he had promised she would be the first to know whom he's dating, and he says she'll have to be the second, and then confesses everything that we already know. So, moving on. At the student union, where else? Kelly and Dylan briefly mention the animal rights vote before he shows her the photo of her and Brandon square dancing at the retreat. Please see this in the visual aids. It's one of several shots of, well, we'll get to the other one. They have this exchange in clip number three.
That was taken at a square dance.
How many do-si-dos did you and your partner do?
Please.
Well, you do take a lot of what Lucinda Nicholson says to heart. And Kel, we both know the woman defines monogamy as jumping into the sack with one person at a time.
Is there a less romantic dance than a square dance? Like, it's not like they were fucking tangoing. Jesus, Dylan.
No, it's like aerobics, although not that Brenda and Kelly didn't try to get it in at an aerobics class with yes. The obviously heterosexual guy who was at an aerobics class.
It was cardio funk, so get it right.
Oh,
for the
yes,
sake of
I'm sorry.
That guy.
It's a fucking head storm at cardio funk. You are right. But also jump into the sack. Like, ugh. Sometimes with the ancient locutions on the show, I have to sort of grade on a curve, I guess, because it's a network in the 90s and there are things that you could say now that you can't, that you couldn't back then, but The sack.
Yeah.
You're a sack of wrinkles. Anyway.
Furthermore, as far as he knows, leaving aside the obvious sexual tension that's brewing between and among all square dancers all the time, he's the one who made out with someone and the only one as far as he knows. So maybe don't be so aggressive about the other person when you know you have something to hide, dude.
And why does Lucinda, like, leave Lucinda out of this then? Like, he totally gave himself away with that. You're right. But
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, he did. Anyway, the discussion continues in clip number four.
I don't get it. Why do you have all this animosity towards Lucinda?
I'm just kidding, Kel.
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think that the real reason you don't want to finance her documentary is because she is a strong woman with a feminist point of view and you can't handle it.
Yeah. Can you picture this? Me standing there quaking in the shadow of Lucinda Nicholson's gargantuan feminist intellect.
Well, all I know is last week you loved her proposal.
And this week, I decided not to back the project. I have the right to change my mind.
Yes, you do. But let's just have her over for dinner and we'll talk this whole thing out.
Cal.
If you still don't want to back the film, I will understand. But if we don't give her a second chance, she's just going to think we're a bunch of kids and I wouldn't be a
father.
I don't know. Please. You're cheating. Mm-hmm. You know that.
And this is where Josh is totally watching them from the bar.
Hey, I thought you were Walsh's girl.
Brandon and I are just friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Last weekend it looked like you guys were practically swapping spit.
Why don't you do the planet a favor? Call Dr. Kevorkian.
Stop trying to have Kelly throw shade. She's not good at it.
Although that is good 90s shade with the Dr. Kevorkian reference.
Sure.
But also, like,
yeah.
Kelly, this is goes back to Sarah's point in the last episode. What are you and Brandon supposed to trying to be accomplishing at the task force by being there together? If you were just friends, maybe you should have been making out. If you were supposed to be a couple, then maybe don't make out with Dylan until you get home. Like, God.
And maybe don't antagonize the guy who, I mean, as ridiculous as it is that Brandon is a story, it, for some reason other than being a gigantic fuckhead,
mm-hmm.
Maybe don't actively antagonize the guy. Like, don't go out of your way to give him tone and be insulting. I don't know. Just be like, haha, and leave.
Yeah. Moving on. Steve and Brandon are at a driving range. Apparently, Steve is great at golf, but he won't give his dad the satisfaction of trying out for the CU golf team because daddy issues. There's talk of a father-son golf tournament coming up, so consider that exposited. But the real reason they're there is that Steve wants info on what Brandon's been up to with Kelly lately, and Brandon shrugs it off, but it's awkward. And then Kelly comes over to see Brandon and tell him about the Dylan / Lucinda film situation, which, to back up, I forgot to say this before. Why doesn't Dylan just say, I'm not backing her film. Stop asking me about it. Like, I know you like this teacher, but it's my money. Stop. Like, leaving aside the cheating issue, he already wasn't that into funding her film, it seemed like, even before she started putting the moves on him. So I don't know why he's letting the
string
dangle. Yeah,
because it's basically a boring, super long episode of In Search Of. So just say you're not interested or you're, you know.
That's so mean. Anyway.
Yeah, it was pretty mean to In Search Of. Sorry, Leonard Nimoy.
Kelly comes over to see Brandon and tell him about the situation. She thinks that Dylan will change his mind about the film and Lucinda if Brandon comes over to dinner with Lucinda as her date. Brandon reminds her that people aren't supposed to know about his relationship with Lucinda. And Kelly knows that, but says that Dylan is getting weird about Kelly and Brandon and thinks her plan will only work if Brandon comes to dinner.
I don't understand.
So this happens in clip number 5.
You didn't tell him what almost happened between us, did you?
Oh, no. But he saw the picture in the condor. And even though he says he's joking, obviously it's bothering him.
Great.
But if he sees that you're dating Lucinda, then it could just smooth everything over.
Kelly, I am not dating Lucinda. We're just sleeping together. Why won't he back her film?
I think it's because he's intimidated by her. But if he sees that you're comfortable with her, then he'll be comfortable with her, too.
Oh my God, there's so much to talk about here. Okay, first of all, Kelly's plan would probably be a good one if not for the fact that Lucinda had hit on Dylan. That's the part she doesn't know that makes it bad. Also, now Brandon is all about Dylan spending his money on things to make people like him. Like, this was his big problem before, but now, because it means he can take Lucinda to the peach pit, it makes such a big difference that Dylan might throw his money around in this direction. Like, figure out your position, Brandon. Stop being a bitch.
And I don't understand, like, oh, well, if Brandon signs off on Lucinda, then Dylan will. Like,
well, I thought that meant because she doesn't know about the proposition. So I just figured that meant you don't have to worry about me and Brandon because Brandon already has a girlfriend and it's her.
Oh, okay. I also thought there was the, like, well, if Lucinda's okay with Brandon, then she should be okay with you because she's okay with Brandon, which,
right.
Like, as obnoxious as that implication is, it's also not in character for Dylan.
Right.
to be like, Brandon, the acknowledged leader of the gang. Like, Dylan does his own thing, and occasionally with good reason. So anyway, none of this makes sense. It's not going to go well, so let's just get it over with.
Okay. So then Brandon has to take this invitation to Lucinda in the editing bay, and she feels betrayed and doesn't seem to care much about how hard it's been for Brandon to keep the secret from everyone he knows, maybe because he hasn't been keeping it really at all. She demands to know who else knows about them and isn't happy to learn that the two people he told are both her students, and they have this testy exchange in clip number 6.
Listen, I could have just blown Kelly off, told her dinner was a bad idea, and you never would have known about any of this.
But you couldn't even keep a secret about not keeping a secret.
No.
Good point.
I know how much your film means to you, and I know how little the money means to Dylan.
Listen, Brandon, I've already embarrassed myself once, okay? Dylan made up his mind. He didn't want to get involved. Let's move on, okay?
Lucinda, if you get your film funded, then maybe you can become a full-time filmmaker. And then just maybe you and I can go out in public somewhere. You ever think of that?
Yep, she doesn't like the idea.
Look, I'm sorry. I know you're under pressure, too.
And what? I know Dylan. If all of us are there and we work him a little bit, maybe he'll come around.
Phrasing.
No.
You're willing to help.
No. Demonstrably not a thing.
Funny, that's what I've been trying to say.
It's like he's never
go to class.
It's like he's never met Dylan either. Like, when has Dylan ever been swayed by public opinion? That's his whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, okay, I know it's stupid to even discuss realism ever, but her film is done. Like, her film is made, right? She had to go somewhere else.
No, it's not.
Film it
she needs
says
more...
it's a work in progress. She needs to finish it.
Yeah.
She needs, and also,
like, she need more footage, though?
Yeah.
It's really, okay.
I think
but getting
it's because...
funding... Sorry, go ahead.
It's because the part that she has finished is from when she was in the field. So she wants to she wants to shoot more stuff that's about, like, and here's what life is like for contemporary American women. That's the part she doesn't have yet.
Okay. She just seems to have a lot of access to this editing bay on campus. Seems like a sweet deal.
Yeah.
Because she's teaching there.
Well, and then
I don't know what she needs the money for.
I'll just interrupt to send a special message to our esteemed colleague and documentary producer, John Ramos. John, put down the chopstick and the hammer. It's going to be okay. Because we acknowledge that getting the funding to finish a documentary doesn't mean you get to be a full-time filmmaker.
Right.
It means you got that funded and you spend most of the rest of your time hustling for the next 3 projects and this one and trying to get it distributed and shut the fuck up show. Ugh.
Moving on. Brandon and Lucinda.
Also, it's an In Search Of episode. Who's going to give money to that?
So... Nobody. He comes around and they're just starting to make out when Josh shows up at the door wanting to interview Lucinda. Brandon hides behind the door, which is ridiculous, but using the visual aids. And when Josh leaves, they're both convinced again of how important it is that she get this movie made so they can quit hiding. So she backs down and agrees to go to this dinner with Kelly and Dylan. Speaking of which, Kelly has borrowed crystal and china from Jackie to make her dinner party hella fancy, even though she's just wearing, like, a t-shirt dress that I would sleep in. She's waited until their guests are almost there before telling Dylan that she invited Lucinda's boyfriend. And after Dylan has marveled that Lucinda has one so soon after her divorce, Kelly adds that said boyfriend is Brandon, and then they're at the door before Dylan has even reacted. And I'm normally all about Lucinda's style of dress, as we have talked about on this podcast many times, but these clown pajamas are never again.
Oh my God, they're so terrible.
Okay, it's matching, God. First of all, mistake number one is it's matching fabric top and bottom, which, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a baggy blouse with, like, a ruffle collar and then the same terrible rickrack pom-pom situation that was ruining Donna's bolero a few episodes ago is the trim of the ruffle. She looks
white.
She looks like a Harlequin doll that you would see in, like, a real creepy antique mall.
On top of that, it is a terrible color on her. It's like
this
periwinkle. Yeah. I would bet money that they took that off of the Andrea rack.
Because
the pants don't
fit
right either.
I bet you're right. Like, she would have
They always put Andrea in that, like, dowdy chambray and periwinkle. And it's like, oh, God, this is exactly the kind of mid-50s, the neighbor on Mad Men maternity frumperama that Andrea is usually wearing, except it's on Lucinda and it looks terrible. It's not a good color for her.
Yeah. From the Valentine's episode when Brandon comes back from the dance with, like, give her a cookie and she's sitting around her house, like, that dress she had on is like 5,000 times better than this.
That, oh, God, yeah.
Anything that she's worn, including, like, the CU t-shirt and jeans that she was wearing to move into her new post-divorce house. Like, everything she's ever worn before on the show has been better than this. I cannot believe how bad it is. Go to the visual aids and see it if you dare.
Awful.
So hideous. Kelly pulls Lucinda away for a tour, leaving Dylan and Brandon to discuss this new reality. Dylan is wary of Brandon's new role as a fundraiser, and when Brandon says that Dylan himself said the film was a great project, Dylan's like, no habla, so this is going to go great. And we miss all the awkward dinner chit-chat and rejoin our love quadrangle at dessert. Kelly turns the subject to the film, inviting Brandon to say what he thinks of it, as if that matters. Brandon wants to know what Dylan thinks, and Dylan wastes no time being snotty in clip number 7.
Well, I'm no Roger Ebert, but looked okay to me. Hope you have good luck with it.
Thank you. Lucinda, maybe you could go over your marketing ideas for us one more time.
We've already done that.
There is money to be made when it's sold to television. I mean, it has a built-in audience. Every woman in America's going to want to see it.
Sounds like what you guys need is a woman producer. A woman distributor.
And the ability to take a hint.
You know, Lucinda, I think it's probably time we left.
Yeah, I think we reached that point a long time ago. Really, thanks for everything. Guys, look, I'm really sorry. I don't know what got into him.
It's okay. Don't be mad at him.
No, be furious.
I want to say this is Kelly's fault for not being like, I hope you have good luck with it, and not hearing that and being like, okay, I guess this is over. But
yeah,
it's also Dylan's fault for not having nipped this whole idea in the bud before they even got to the table. So really, it's on both of them.
Yeah. But also, shut up, Brandon.
But also, shut up, Brandon. So after they've left, Kelly picks a fight about Dylan's attitude in clip 8.
She's somebody who means a lot to me.
Why, when you grow up, you want to be just like her?
Yeah, maybe I do. You know what? The only person that you hurt here tonight was yourself. Because this is going to be a great film, and you're not going to be a part of it.
Don't worry about me, Kel. Worry about Brandon.
Why? Because he's got an incredible woman? What? Are you jealous?
Yeah. Yeah, your role model, she is so incredible. While you and Brandon were off having your little square dance last weekend, she tried to use some of that Guatemalan mumbo jumbo to get me into bed.
Don't blame Guatemala.
Why would she do something like that? You think she wants your money so bad?
Well, I thought so at first, but actually I think it's a little more basic than that, Kel. I just happen to be the closest available warm body.
You have lost it.
Hey, how nice was I supposed to be, huh? Do you want me to sleep with her?
Maybe.
The bass
it would occupy your
you.
Mouth with doing something other than being a complete dildo. Guatemalan mumbo jumbo? How about you take the slut-shaming mumbo jumbo and jam it up your tiny ass? Worst.
Nobody who wears a Baja top that often gets to be that bitchy about Guatemala.
Thank you.
Just saying.
You can just end this podcast right now. That's it. Yes.
Oh, my God. So Lucinda comes to class the next day to talk about folk medicine, but Kelly raises her hand and says she thinks there's more to say about Wednesday's discussion on fidelity in clip number 9.
I didn't think we ever really explored the concept of betrayal.
Well, if you're looking for an anthropological model, you can try the Eskimos.
Do they go after each other's mates?
As a matter of fact, when a man goes off hunting, he expects other men to satisfy his wife.
And when the women go off gathering, do other women head straight for their boyfriends?
They might. Cold. It's so much a part of their culture, they even have a word for it. Ungatoken. Describes the close bond they all feel for sharing the same lover.
Fortunately, we are not Eskimos. Or are we?
Kelly,
no.
We talked about
no, you're not.
Men and women aren't monogamous by nature. Traditional monogamy only works when everyone adheres to the same morality.
So, going after a friend's husband is actually a natural reflex?
Not quite.
But I do believe, like the Eskimos, that relationships can be healthier if people are more honest with each other about their sexual impulses. And that's as honest as I can be.
Coming soon to the Clarkware store. Fuck like Eskimos.
Ask me about Unga Token.
You know, as far as Eskimo mentions per minute, I think this episode might claim the title.
Can someone who's actually an anthropologist tell us if Unga Token is an actual thing or if
okay,
they just made it up for
the show? I just Googled it, and the first result is a site called fanforum.com, a post about this episode.
Oh my God.
And when you Google Unga Token Eskimo, it is the only result.
Oh my God. That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, this is yet another instance of the show, A, not really understanding
anything.
Well, anything, yeah. But also just like it can't decide from which direction it wants to make Lucinda into a like shit stirring tramp.
Yeah.
So it just takes all of them.
Right.
Like not that I'm whatever qualified to be like, well, you know, polyamory, blah, 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 like whatever, do you? But like there is no way that Lucinda can behave in the situation where she's not going to be blamed for everyone else's bullshit.
Right. Yeah. The one and
weirdly,
only. Sorry, go ahead.
No. Well, just in the prior episodes with Coriolanus, like whether she was lying or telling the truth, like she was clear. She made sense, right? She was like, we have an open relationship. I'm allowed to bang other people. This is our thing.
Yeah, it was at
we
least
think she was
direct.
Lying, but like, whatever.
Sure.
Like, now she has said something different in every scene.
She has. She literally
Yeah, just
has.
Depending on which, like...
And she's making up Eskimos. Like, it makes no sense at all.
Right. And I mean, it's she's
joking.
Right when
the
she's...
Eskimos have 12 different words for infidelity. Like, it's just...
She is right when she says that monogamy only works if everyone adheres to the same rules. However, the part that she's leaving out is that people who are actually in polyamorous relationships, and I'm sure I've said this before, my knowledge of this is based 100% on the Showtime series Polyamory: Married and Dating.
our marriage is not actually a polyamorous relationship.
If listeners are, I 100% support you and go with God. I'm just not trying to like claim anything that I'm not. That said, the whole thing about polyamory is that everyone is upfront about what those rules are and they negotiate them and agree to them ahead of time before shenanigans start, which is why they're not shenanigans in this context. That's not what she did with Brandon at all. She never, right. like, as we said in the last episode, sat him down and was like, we're just fucking and I'm fucking other people too, if I can, so that he would understand that that was what's happening. She certainly had no expectation that Dylan and Kelly were also in an open relationship when she started putting the moves on him, which is not really cool of her. But again, right.
and
none
I know
of this
that,
is her. It's all the show trying to find
right.
as many
like,
angles.
Well, especially if she's
bad.
Trying to get money from him, like, that's an extra level of sketcho.
Well,
that,
right.
Yeah. Of
like
course.
I know that you know podcasts didn't exist, but like there were books and newspaper columns and radio shows. Like we had Dr. Ruth and Dr. Judy and even Dan Savage in the early 90s.
Exactly.
The the writing staff for the show could have picked up a book and figured out what the hell they were doing if this is a road they wanted to go down. But
right. And I understand
instead,
that
they're just,
you might not want to introduce this level of complexity in a show that's like
sure,
still ultimately
for teenagers.
For teenagers, but then don't.
But then don't make the woman the villain.
Exactly.
Like that's what I find
yeah,
frustrating.
Find
is that
they had
yeah.
to find
it's
some
all
way
yeah.
to break Kelly and Dylan up for Brandon mm-hmm. and still have Brandon look like a good guy, which
yep.
I think they were not aware that it's not possible.
Yeah.
But anyway,
so then.
And side note, now they have like regular school desks and chairs in this classroom.
Yeah.
Just need to point that out while we're here.
Oh, yes.
And also extras who,
thank you,
when
prop
this
cop.
Prop cop badge is on.
When this fight is happening between Kelly and Lucinda, they also have extras who are looking at each other like, girl. So that's also in the visual aids. Check that out. So Kelly comes to the Peach Pit later to tell Brandon about Dylan's accusations against Lucinda in clip number 10.
So that's why Dylan's been acting so weird.
Do you think it could be true?
That's not why.
She's certainly capable of it.
It's not as if she's ever claimed to be anything other than what she is. I just never thought she'd try it with Dylan.
Any more than Dylan ever thought I would try with you.
Oh?
At least some of us know when to stop ourselves.
Do you?
But did we stop ourselves any sooner than Dylan did?
Oh,
thank you.
I mean, maybe Lucinda's thank you. Right, maybe... Under the right circumstances, we are all capable of betrayal.
OK, Okay, she's never claimed to be anything other than what she is, makes it sound like she's a werewolf. Like, she's just a woman who likes to have sex.
Seriously.
Let's be reasonable here. Also, you can see the boom in the shot when we see Andrea and Jesse Steve over on the side discussing what might be happening between Brandon and Kelly right now. So you can see that in the visual aids, too. But yeah, at least Kelly is not a hypocrite about it and acknowledges, like, well, whatever happened between them is the same thing that happened between us. In fact, we may have gone further, so whatever. Anyway, she says that if she wants to have an honest relationship with Dylan, she needs to tell him about the kiss. Brandon thinks that he should tell Dylan because he and Dylan are dating. Like, how does that make sense other than...
And I love that this is bad because Brandon betrayed Dylan,
right,
by going after, quote, his girl, unquote, not because he semi-cheated on Lucinda, like, while he was bearding,
right,
like, or being bearded. You really don't get to be, and then there's such a self-righteous tone to it, too. Blech.
Yes, but also, this is of a piece with his whole, like, well, what does Dylan think about you doing this for me, which is barf. So Brandon comes over to Lucinda's late. He says he was held up at the Peach Pit talking to Kelly, and that's when Lucinda knows what it's about and asks him to sit, since she has some things to tell him. Brandon doesn't want to sit. He wants to know if it's true, so they get into it in clip 11.
Dylan was here last weekend. Things might have been taken the wrong way. I thought he was more like you, more like me.
So in other words, you came on to him.
We flirted a little bit. But I do get the sense that he was offended.
You make this all sound so matter of fact. What about us?
Come on, Brandon. When I did my Richland interview yesterday, he told me how cuddly you and Kelly were for the retreat. Now, how's it any different?
Thank you.
Because I feel bad about that.
Oh, God.
Dylan's an old friend.
Well, if he is, he'll understand. Just like I do.
Right. Of course. You have a convenient philosophy for everything.
Fuck off.
Brandon, listen to me. What happened between me and Dylan in no way changes or diminishes what I feel for you.
I thought you might say
something
that.
Should.
But I gotta tell you something. I don't know what you are to me anymore.
Fantasy. Just like you are to me.
She tries to feed him a strawberry that she's just bit into.
No thanks.
No thanks. Fuck off.
Oh my God. Oh,
okay.
Lucinda, blessings. Count them.
Yeah, seriously.
Pun.
I know we were just talking about, like, how they're limited in their word choice, but, like, cuddly? Like, college students, like, lie on top of each other in piles in dorm rooms all the time. Maybe you shouldn't date them, Lucinda, if you're going to be jealous about it. They've been friends since freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down.
I mean, I don't think that she is jealous. I think her point is, like,
no, she doesn't
we
care.
The same thing. But,
yes. But again, yeah. He's like, the difference is I have a conscience. Like,
right.
No, the difference is that, like, you're not married. She doesn't want to be exclusive. Mm-hmm. I think it is dicey that she would try to fuck Dylan just because of the documentary situation. And also,
right.
It's just excessively complicated to be fucking your main fuckies friends. Like, yeah. I'm just not.
There's no need.
Like,
right.
Open relationships, : Sarah is not organized enough for them to say her story. But it's like, I just don't. I mean, his tone. Like, I guess I understand his tone because it's the only tone he has, but
right.
What I don't understand is why we're supposed to be on his side when he was never promised anything, and
yeah.
What did he think was going to happen? Like,
yeah.
Oh, she'll get the money, and the next day we can go on a date to Delicious Cumin Acres? Settle down, fuck it, baby.
Speaking of cumin, it's really not relevant.
But?
Is this the scene with the sandwich platter?
Oh, yeah.
Where she's like, come in, sit down. And she turns around, like, full 180 with this, like, catered sandwich platter.
That has been sitting there even though she did not know he was coming over. Like, that was
right?
All for
and
her?
Right? And she's like, have something to eat.
Like,
it's
this is
the weird, like, what the props department has given up even more than we have. and I don't understand.
Why is the strawberry the, like, shorthand for whatever? I don't even know. Daytime doing it. Like... It's ruining strawberries. Find a fruit that I hate. It's switch most... to raisins. That
Give
would be
some
ideal.
Melon. Like,
oh, that would be
get
hilarious.
A box of Sunmaids.
Open the box. Yeah. Gets it back.
The
it's
most
like
romantic
a big clump
fruit.
And it bounces off her cheekbone.
Team raisin.
To your organization point, I would just say there's a spreadsheet joke to be made, but I'm not going to make it because moving on.
PowerPoint.
Sorry.
I get it. Sheets.
To the beach apartment where Kelly says this to Donna in clip number 12.
Yep, I'm on it.
I know.
I just finished telling Dylan the truth about my weekend with Brandon.
Okay, again, Sarah.
Okay. Is there some reason we didn't see that scene?
Right.
I mean, in retrospect, I'm kind of glad because it would have been overacted and probably studded with more slut shaming and Dylan spouting 50s-isms about Guatemalan mumbo-jumbo.
Uh-huh. But if we have to see everything else, like, why is that a conversation that happens off-screen?
Yeah, like, it's a
what
central...
What is this, Downton Abbey?
I was just going to say that. Why?
Anyway, then there's a stupid scene where Dylan storms over to the Walsh house to confront Brandon about Kelly and everything else. When he goes to take a swing at Brandon, he hits Steve instead because Steve is also there. This is the only reason this scene is worth watching. Ian Ziering, as we mentioned in the last episode, digs all the way in on the like palm rubbing
so
glee at seeing all of this play out and his not actually having a part in it or having to be embarrassed about anything he did. Like, it's all these other two guys and he loves it.
And then his post getting hit like wine is so good.
It is.
And then he just is felled like a tree. And the way it's blocked, like, this is not how anyone would miss someone and punch someone else.
No.
It's like Battlefield Earth blocking, but whatever.
Well, and also Brandon invites Dylan. Brandon's like, will it make you feel better to hit me? And then he ducks.
Yeah.
Which is also amazing. I mean, it's a reflex, I guess, but
I don't
also...
think he ducked. I think he's just that much shorter.
Anyway.
It's everything about it is hilarious and terrible, and I loved it.
Yes, it's a good mix of like stuff and like legit, actually a fun time for these three actors, which, as we always say, is fun to watch. So, yeah. Unfortunately, there's also some gross gender politics stuff involved in it, which we get to because back at Dylan's, Kelly rubs his back and simpers that she can't believe he and Brandon fought over her because she loves it. They say this
Boo.
In clip 13.
Joke all you want, but I am flattered. Because when it comes down to it, I'm just an old-fashioned girl.
Well, it's a good thing because I am certainly an old-fashioned guy, you know. Possessive, vindictive, yet tender.
Mm-hmm. It's not old-fashioned. It's
just
gross.
Just burp just before that clip.
Retrograde.
That was my response to the clip. Yeah.
Oh, white Negroni started early. But anyway, that's where we leave things. And though you might think we never saw Lucinda again, she does come back. So stand by for that. But for now, it's our A story. Brenda's an activist all of a sudden. So David and Donna go out for a run with Rocky behind them, totally off his leash. Not acceptable. They don't even have eyes on him. Like, he could be anywhere. He's clearly not a trained animal. They've had him for a day.
Also still not bathed.
Still not bathed, yeah.
Also, they're running in, like, those Puma Clydes, which are, like, they're athleisure shoes. They're not for running.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I'm very appalled by... I'm looking at my notes, and I've took, like, a paragraph of notes about how appalled I am of how little attention they're paying to the dog. But anyway, as they run through campus, Rocky runs out of steam and parks it on the walkway, and Donna exposits that she and Brenda are going to go to an animal rights meeting to prevent other dogs from being experimented on like he was. So noted. And at this meeting, Donna and Brenda get barraged with horrible stories of animal testing on campuses. The same three activists that we met at the in the last episode are still leading this one, including senior chest hair, the extremely tight, extremely low-cut tank top, which you can see in the visual aids. The activists are confident that the trustees vote, which is in 2 days, will go their way. And as the meeting breaks up, Brenda and Donna tell activist Alan, not hair chest hair guy, the other guy, that they want to help however they can. And he asks after Rocky and exposits that sometimes lab animals are very sick. Donna confidently, based on nothing, says that Rocky is not because she's a vet now. And when Brenda gets home, she's already gone full blown pinko, as we hear in clip 14.
What's that smell?
Dinner?
It's red meat, isn't it? Ugh, I'll pass. There's no way that I can eat animal flesh. Not after the meeting I just came from.
That was that animal rights thing, right?
Yes, and it was quite an education. You know, we have no right to impose our power on other species. It is totally immoral. We might as well eat our young.
Listen, Brent, if you want to become a vegetarian, that's
tell
really
Andrea.
Cool, but before you get too crazy,
tell your parents.
Those boots aren't exactly made out of broccoli, Chief.
Brandon, I'm changing my diet first, then my leather products.
I have such mixed feelings about this. One is that I really admire people who are vegetarians, including people in this room and on this podcast, because I'm not. And I actually agree with what Brenda is saying in principle as much as a meat eater can. But also, she's so first year of college with this shit, like, that she totally literally just heard about this at this meeting 10 minutes ago, and then now is like, I'm 100% on board, because
which is a total Brandon thing to be, that he's like, I'm gonna fix this problem, having had exactly 1.5 conversations about it, and then that he in turn is the one to puncture her bubble with his like, you boo, with P.S. a really weird Pauly Shore-ish line reading.
Yeah,
your boots aren't exactly made of broccoli there, Chief. Like, what? Okay, don't Bogart that joint, dickhead. And then she's like, we might as well eat our young. And there's a totally classic cut away to Jim being like, yikes, at the table reading the paper, which I believe he's reading The Condor, which we also have that in the visual aids. It is the most boring collection of stories in the world.
New air conditioning to be installed soon is one of them that I can recall offhand.
Dance at gym. And then happy square dancing couple is like the most exciting thing on the page. Like, I actually read it. They put actual articles in there.
Oh,
it's not dummy text, but it's like, why? Anyway, Jim, it's not too late to eat your young. Start with your son. He's small.
Yeah. Anyway, Brandon
has entirely believable.
Yeah,
that she would do this, but also, yes.
And it's believable that her sibling would be like, shut
right.
up.
Also, they're really focused on like animal testing, mm-hmm. but she makes this leap to dinner.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, that it's like you're not eating
dinner, which is a pile of uncooked vegetables on the counter. P.S.
Such a big pile. You can see in the visual
huge,
aids.
It is like, leave some Swiss chard for everyone else,
like,
in California.
She's painting a still life.
This happens on an episodic basis, by the way. There's always some huge pile of food, and Cindy always has to be near it. I think it must have been in Carol Potter's contract.
Like, there's no pretense that she's doing anything with it. It's just there.
Sitting there. Yeah.
She's making dinner.
The mm-hmm. Walshacopia. Totally.
Yeah. Maybe they were expecting Andrea to stand behind it, but then she didn't show up.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Oh, God.
At the beach apartment.
Not a big enough pile.
Rocky isn't eating or drinking, so David says he'll take Rocky to the vet in the morning. We already know this. The next day, Donna and Brenda are handing out leaflets for this rally. Against the animal testing vote. Donna, not against the vote, against the testing, which will be voted on. David doesn't have any news from the vet, but does report that Rocky ate. And then Andrea and her pile of fucking books, sweater, and baggie of snacks, classic Andrea, roll up at this point. And when Donna makes sure she knows about the rally, Andrea reminds her that they know how she feels about this whole business. But Donna asks her to take a look at some literature, and they take off. And when they've gone, David tells Brenda that Rocky has cancer. He doesn't know how he's going to tell Donna. So he's telling her friend who's the same age because Donna needs to be protected like a slow child. I'm not sure, except I am.
Get her some orange juice.
That is what's happening. Brenda suggests waiting for the right time, which would be when. And when Brenda rejoins Donna and Andrea, it's time to hear the other side of the issue. But first, sniping in clip 15.
can't believe you guys are involved with this mindless kind of radicalism.
It isn't mindless.
Andrea, you're always the one who believes in standing up for
now
the
it
cause.
Is.
That is, unless you think the abuse of innocent animals doesn't count for anything. You know, Brenda, there is another side to this.
I feel like even then, opposing animal testing was a pretty mainstream position. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was.
I mean, I don't know about, like, medical, right? Like, we were all super clear that, like, cosmetic testing was bad.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Right?
That's a good point.
But,
yes.
Like, this is a, I don't know. Who knows what they're doing?
And then, of
I don't
course,
understand why
they have
works
to
there.
Make Andrea, they have to give her this job. And then they have to, you know, hide her behind a sheaf of paperwork while she, you know, and right. fail at that. And have, like, the other side of it, which is, of course, sort of logical because of SIDS. And, right. you know, she's taking it personally because baby, even though, whatever, the baby is, again, a freshman in college, is smoking and drinking martinis. It's fine.
Yeah. So
do we know, was this an actual pit issue of Shannon Doherty's?
We learned from this book, I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed,
right.
that she had, and she had sort of a sanctuary for at least rescue dogs. And so I think
because
every
paparazzi photo taken of her in the last 10 years is always her loading her SUV full of rescue dogs.
Oh, rescue dogs.
So, yeah.
Because it feels like...
I think that is legit.
But it feels like that. It feels like something that sort of got added on because of an actor. But also her every line reading sounds sarcastic.
It does.
Like, yeah. It sounds... Which is sort of the character jumping onto it in this weirdo freshman in college way. But, like, it really sounds like she's making fun of everything.
Yeah, it does. So Andrea, as Sarah said, brings Donna and Brenda into her lab where the scientists are studying cat sleep patterns in the hope of eventually figuring out what causes SIDS, and they see like cats hooked up to electrodes and stuff, and it looks alarming, but Andrea says it doesn't hurt them. How she would know that, I guess we have to take her word for it. She's been working there for 2 whole days. Donna seems ready to back down immediately, but Brenda stands firm, insisting that this lab might be fine, but that others she doesn't know about at all are probably unethical. So they decide not to argue about it anymore for now. And then at home, Donna tries to give Rocky his medicine, but he won't take it. And as she tries to cajole him by saying it's going to make him all well, whatever, David and Brenda exchange a look. And then David suggests putting a blanket on Rocky to keep him warm, urges her not to get her hopes up. And finally, Brenda says to David, you have to tell her. And so he does. And he adds that the vet thinks they should put Rocky to sleep. Donna doesn't want to believe it, so Brenda and David just sit there staring at each other uncomfortably for too long. Moving on. It's the next day at the rally.
And then they give him a bath. Just kidding. They don't.
Oh, he's really cute with that blanket, though.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a shame he's going to die. Spoiler.
So Brenda has put on the classic activist uniform of an oversized vintage army jacket to go to this rally.
I love that. That's so brilliant.
So,
sure,
so
she was
over
like,
the
I
top.
Signed a petition. I'm going to the Army Navy store. Woo.
It's perfect.
Dressed like Alanis Morissette. I love it.
And you know she didn't get it out of the closet at home either, because Jim is famously a draft dodger. But anyway, Alan is rousing the troops when someone comes out of the trustees meeting and reports that they've postponed the vote. Funding for animal research continues for the time being. Brenda, of course, who else, starts a chant, which is much more cohesive than any of the Donna Martins graduating, by the way. And one of the trustees comes out and gets harassed by the crowd, who ignore Alan as he yells at them to leave this poor old man alone. And then Rocky dies and everyone's sad. Brenda promises Donna that she won't let them get away with killing Rocky. Donna tells Kelly later that she wants a memorial for Rocky, a dog she had for 3 days. And I just want to break in here and say, I will never know what that's like because my dog is immortal. But honestly, she barely knew this Rocky character. And Kelly says she's read that the loss of a pet is harder than the loss of a human because your feelings for a pet are just pure love. And the more they talk about it, the more I'm just relieved I'll never know, because Gordon's never going to die. He's going to live forever, as far as I know. Right? That's how it works.
Yep.
Just from my will. And then we're in Alan's apartment as the lady activist is storming out because she doesn't want to get involved with the terrorists that Harry Chest has apparently brought over. And Alan pleads for them all to go through channels, but this white-haired ringleader dude, who, if he's not from a soap, certainly looks like he is or should be. he says that economic loss is the only thing the school will understand. And there's a knock at the door. Alan thinks it's the broad who just left, but it's Brenda. He tries to get rid of her, but clip 16.
Look, Rocky died today.
I'm sorry.
I want to know what you're going to do about it.
Nothing with that tone, Brandon. Jesus. A lot of attitude for this guy she barely knows. Brenda's all fired up on behalf of all the animals who are still in the lab and might die if they don't intervene. And Alan says that's what they've been discussing. Before we hear this clip, I just want to mention this is where we first hear of a good dear friend of Adam and Sarah's, who I'm sure they will want to discuss when the clip is over. So play our last clip.
Do you really think talk is going to do anything to stop it?
No, but action will.
Brenda, what are you doing here?
Welcome.
Well, no. I think the fewer people involved in this, the better, right?
We have to build for the future. I look at Brenda and I see myself 10 years ago.
Wait. Are you a member of any law enforcement agency?
Excuse me?
FBI, LAPD, ATF. If you are, you are required by law to admit it now.
Of course not. Good. Join us.
No, wait! I don't think this is a good idea. We don't know anything about this girl. Nothing.
You know what? I'm as committed to this cause as anyone here.
Jonathan.
That's exactly what an arc would say.
We know nothing about her, Harvey.
I say she's in.
Okay, first talk about this this lady who you guys know.
Okay, this lady is Terry Austin, a flatline love interest for Peter Onorati's character on Cop Rock, which Adam and I just finished enduring for a mercifully brief marathon diary earlier in the summer. You can find it on previously.tv. She is not the worst actor in this scene, which is, like, for her, really an accomplishment.
Well, there are cats in the scene. And cats are notoriously impossible to train.
Well, but I feel like they were doing a method thing, and they had. I was talking about the guy who was like leaning on the bookshelf, all like,
It's true. Well, Cop Rock is actually the reason that we're getting together for cocktails later because we need them, and it's largely Terry Austin's fault. So the fact that she came back for this episode of 90210 was just, you know,
a little scary.
You don't actually know her. Yeah. I should clarify. I was just
we've never met.
You just know her from Cop Rock.
Yeah, we spent some quality time with her.
So that was Harry Chest, who was all trying to protest against Brenda joining this phase of whatever they're about to do. And
although Harry Chest is in a little mini mock neck in this scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
guys, leave my drag name out of this.
They get into logistics. Alan can't be involved and will need an alibi so that he stays free to continue the work, as they say. But they decide Brenda, this person who's been involved in this movement for 2 whole days, will be a perfect lookout. And she says she'll do whatever it takes. And then it's go time. The serious activists brief Brenda on her cover. It's only then that Brenda notices they're breaking into Andrea's kitty lab and tries to stop them, yelling because she has no chill. Harry Chess makes her stay in the hall as he goes in after them. And in the lab, the lady throws papers around while the dudes let cats out of their cages. And when the lights go on and a bunch
of dudes... Sort of roughly, by the way, they're like shoving these ginger cats onto the floor.
Because
like...
they're cats. They don't want to go. They're like, we're fine in here.
Also,
we're just chilling.
Like, where are they going to go? Out the window?
Right.
Into the hall?
Right.
This doesn't seem like a really
lab?
Awesome...
Like, yeah.
Right. It's terrible plan. Also, they're cats.
Like, you're attempting to herd them. Destined to fail.
They're going to be like, is there food over here? Can we sleep over here? Like, it's... Yeah. It's not the Planet of the Apes remake. I don't understand what they think is going to happen.
So then in the hallway outside, the lights go on and a bunch of dudes and windbreakers come running toward her, which is when Brenda proves she is a shit lookout by just freezing completely and not telling anyone that anything is happening. But
and crying.
And crying. But these guys are the FBI and they immediately put her in cuffs. Oh, noes! And then at the very end, there's a little post-episode pre-credits bit with Tori Spelling and Pound Cake, the animal actor who played Rocky, thanking us for watching the 100th episode, which is when I was like, oh my God, Sarah, we've done 100 of these and we're not even close to the halfway mark.
I don't think we're even at the halfway mark of season 4. Remember Jill? It just keeps going. We are through the looking glass.
We are.
Remember when 100th episodes were a big deal?
Yes.
This was not a very special episode.
No.
I mean, also, like, that they felt the need to assure us that Pound Cake was not dead, which was really the point of the little coda that Tori Spelling was like, hi, I'm here with Pound Cake, who's fine. Like, no, we didn't think you actually put him down.
My God.
Really underscores the point that maybe we were being too hard on them in terms of their portrayal of sexual ethics with regard to Lucinda. If this is what they think is a more important issue, like, no, make sure everyone knows the dog is fine. Anyway, speaking of fine, let's wrap it up with our MVP. Adam, start us off.
The cats. They're real cute.
They were.
I'm going to take an even hairier candidate, Jim Walsh. That eye roll's gold.
It is gold. I forget if I said before, it's in the visual aid. Sarah gifted it beautifully, and you must see it. Oh, God.
Yeah, really.
You know, I'm going to say Lucinda, because even though she's kind of shady, she got hers, and she's gotten out of this clean, more or less. And so, yeah. Good for her. I admire everything she stands for, if not that pajama outfit, which was wrong. And our least valuable player. Adam.
Well, I say this as a huge fan of pets.
No, you're the least valuable.
No. What? That's
what she thanks.
It is not.
Misunderstood.
I say this as a huge fan of pets named after food, but whoever named that dog Pound Cake was a terrible name for that dog. Yeah.
It is. What's wrong with the Oreo?
Yeah, right? It doesn't look like a white. Pound Cake at all. A Pound Cake would be
hairy,
like a
grease.
Blonde dog, maybe.
What is it, a cookies and cream looking dog?
Or like a loafy looking dog, but that's the, terrible name for that dog.
And tell the readers, tell the listeners proof that you do like pets named after food.
Yeah, my cat's name is Radish. There's nothing wrong with naming a dog Pound Cake, but you should not name that dog Pound Cake.
Okay, but does your cat look like a radish?
No, but also Radish is an awesome name for a pet.
It is.
And Coriolanus Randall is too long to say.
As is Sergei Rachmaninoff.
Okay, Sarah, least valuable player.
Brandon.
I support that. I am also not a fan of Dylan's attitude in this, and that's why, even though I put in the doc that we should do the Kim challenge, I think we should do the Kim challenge followed by the Moomin Parker challenge because they were both shitheads. So let's start.
I am fine with that.
With the Kim challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
5 ways in this episode, Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Well, he's way too mad about a lady coming on to him under the circumstances, money or not. So that's one.
It's pretty bad to let all these dinner guests get all the way to your house and to dessert only to then pull the rug out with some rude dickery.
Adam. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to drive angry, which he does, to get to the Walsh house to punch Brandon.
It's dangerous to stand near him when he's trying to punch someone else. You'll get bopped in the nose.
He's dangerously condescending to Lucinda and Kelly.
There you go. Well, that makes 5. Now moving on to the Moomoo Parker challenge. 5 ways from this episode, Brandon might have ended up dead. Sarah.
Stashed behind the door in the editing room and, I don't know, crushed by it?
Choked to death on a strawberry.
Yep.
Actually punched by Dylan or Steve.
Actually
or Kelly
punched,
or Lucinda.
Actually punched or possibly eaten by Jim.
Stuffed into one of the cages at the lab by Brenda.
Perfect.
Moving on.
Yes.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. Another fine letter from a reader of... Actually, I'm not sure if this person is writing in for an issue, but whatever. Another letter from a hater of Brenda. I hate Brenda, too. I hate her a lot. It seems like she always gets her way on camera and off camera. It seems like it's always poor Brenda. I've never liked her. When 90210 first started, I hated her then. She seems like a spoiled bitch. I read one magazine about those Brenda lookalikes. Quote, I hate that, end quote. That's what she said. I thought to myself, what a total bitch. Sometimes I want to go right through that TV set and wring her neck. Like the episode when she thought she was pregnant and broke up with Dylan. If I was Dylan, I would have said, get out of my life. I just hate her. Everybody I know hates her too. She's always starting trouble. I would love to tell her I hate you and then punch her out. She thinks she is so beautiful and can't do wrong because she is a star. I don't care who she is. I hate her so much. She has made enemies for life. So if you could please give me more information on I Hate Brenda. Sincerely yours, KJ in Hawthorne, California. P.S. I know how you feel. I feel the same exact way about that bitch. End of letter.
Wow.
I hope that was a kid.
They never wrote back to me.
Oh, next time, that bitch gets charged, Lucinda gets a grant, Donna gets a puppy, Steve's dad gets caught cheating at golf like anyone gives a shit, and Brandon gets blackmailed. You'll pay us to go away after you clap an eyeball on the visual aids for this and all the other Again With This episodes on our website, which you can find at previously.tv, and you can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm Tomato Nation on Twitter. My elegant co-host Tara Ariano is Tara Ariano. My soigné guest today, Adam Grossworth, is at Adam807. And the festive producer, David T. Cole, is on Instagram at Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.